It is June 28th. Mandy Higgins interviewing for the Mask Makers Quote Oral History Project in Frankfurt with Penny. If you could state your name for us.
Hi, I'm Penny Grubb.
And where are you from?
Ashland, Kentucky.
Okay. So when did you begin to sew or craft?
I finally decided, I grew up with my mom and my aunts sewing constantly. My aunts made my prom dresses and my wedding dress. So when my daughter turned one, I decided I was going to make her a quilt. So that began it all. And then I started sewing clothes for her throughout her years.
And were you self-taught? Did your mom teach you? How did you learn?
I just watched them sew all my life and just sat down and decided I was going to do it. Followed a pattern and took off.
So you mentioned you made clothes. Are there other, what else did you make before you started making masks?
Purses, diaper bags. Then I got into crafting and making shirts with the Cricut machine. I've made a couple quilts with my mom.
Were you involved in any sort of group or craft community before the pandemic?
No.
No. So no sewing circles or?
No. Just me.
Can you talk a little bit about where you crafted?
I crafted during the pandemic, and I'm a school teacher. We were teaching virtually, so I had my sewing machine set up upstairs next to the desk where my laptop was, where I was virtually teaching my students. They would be online, and all my stuff would be sitting next to me so I could be cutting out while they were taking a test or things like that.
And before the pandemic, where did you do a lot of your crafting?
I have a craft room downstairs. Has sewing machines, heat presses, fabric. I have fabric galore. A lot of craft stuff.
How did you learn about COVID-19?
Because I am a school teacher, we were kept up to date with things that were going on. And then when we were told we were going virtual, it was supposed to just be for 2 weeks around spring break. But then things got worse, and then we were told we were going virtual for the rest of the year.
So through the school?
Yes.
And what do you do for the schools?
I'm a special education teacher for the sixth grade.
In Boyd County?
In Ashland, yes. Ashland Middle School.
Can you talk a little bit about how you were feeling in March and April of 2020?
Anxious. I have, my parents are older, so I didn't want to, I actually stayed away from them because I didn't want to, because I was with students a lot, I didn't want to bring anything into them. So I stayed away.
What about your feelings about your students? Were you anxious there as well?
Very, because I had one student that was on chemo. He took chemo just about every day. He had a brain tumor when he was younger, and they weren't able to get it all, so he was constantly on chemo. So therefore, I was scared to death for him. I didn't want anything to happen to him. But also, you know, just your students become your babies, so you don't want anything to happen to them.
Yeah. Do you remember when you began to make masks?
Yes, I have a cousin who was working at a nursing home, and she had posted on social media that they were out of mask and that they had to wear the one mask they had, I want to say maybe for a week before they could get a new one. So I messaged her and I said, listen, you know, you all are first responders. I can't do much, but I can make you a mask. Let me know how many you want. And then word got out, you know, her friends needed some. I come from a huge family, so I had other family members that work for doctor's offices in the hospital, and they asked if I could make them some. So it just snowballed from there. I ended up making a heart doctor, his whole office. I made 100 masks for them. He, in turn, donated them all to the cancer floor so the patients would have masks from there. I made over 1,500 masks, and they were all donated.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What pattern did you use, or how did you figure out how to do it?
I didn't use a pattern. I saw several online. Joann Fabrics came out with a pattern, but I just made a square myself and just folded it up and put elastic in there and just... in the beginning, I put flannel in between so it would act as a barrier. Then it made them really thick, and they were washable. So I had one doctor tell me that, you know, he stepped into his garage, stripped down, he washed the mask and everything every night before he went to bed, and then he'd put it back on the next day until it was threadbare. You could hardly see it.
Wow. You said early on you put flannel between. So how did you change your pattern as things went on?
I used the same pattern, but I didn't use flannel. I started just using three layers of fabric. Later on, material and sources got scarce. You could hardly find elastic. I was buying bulk on Amazon, then that went away. I was going to our dollar stores around town, buying elastic headbands and cutting those up. Just put on social media if anybody had some and they would like to donate it to me, or I would buy it from them. Yeah, I did that. And then, you know, same with fabric. I had family members or people I didn't even know that now have become friends say, I've got a bag of fabric, come get it. And I did.
So you're, you know, finding what you could. Did you do anything like coat the elastic or change the way that the ear bands?
No, I did not. Not until the very end. I have my husband's family member has a daughter that has hearing issues. And so she asked if I could make something that could go around the elastic in the back. So I came up with just a small rectangle. It had buttons on the end, and then she could loop the elastic through the buttons so it wasn't setting on her ears.
So. That's very creative.
Yeah.
So you said you sourced supplies from wherever you could get them.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your first sources and then maybe how you modified that as you went?
My first sources were raiding my mom's fabric and what fabric I had. You know, my mom was a quilter all of her life, and so I came home with bags and bags and bags, and I have she's 19 now, but at the time she was 16, daughter who sat and cut out squares with me, and we would take 2 or 3 days and just cut squares, and then the next day I would piece them together, and then the next day I would add elastic to them, and yeah, it became an assembly line.
Yeah, we've heard of that a couple of times. Can you talk a little bit more about what else was happening as you were doing those assembly pieces?
Yes, I was teaching. My laptop was set up, and I was asking students questions, answering their questions, helping them with the work they were doing, any assignments that they had questions on. You know, the laptop was there. I was even making phone calls sometimes in the evenings, checking on my students, see if they needed anything. At one point, I made each of my students goodie bags, and I made each student 2 masks, put those down in there, and balloons, telling them I missed them, and just went to their house and set them on their porch because, I couldn't see them. Some of them would stand out of the window and wave at me, and that, that made my heart happy because I got to see them. But, just an assembly line and my laptop and my telephone.
And your daughter was doing virtual school as well?
She was, yes. Yeah. So she could sit right there next to her laptop and help me cut out.
How, you mentioned that you made masks for students, for healthcare workers. Were there other groups that you made them for?
I made them for our cafeteria workers. Our ladies do so much for the school that I made some for them. I made about 100 and some for our resource center for students when we were able to come back from being virtual. We had the option of, if you wanted to stay virtual, you could. If you wanted to come into the school, you had to wear a mask at all times. So I donated about 100 masks to our resource center. So for the students who weren't able to have masks, would have a mask every day.
And you mentioned that all of this was donated.
Yes.
did folks donate material? What did folks donate to you?
A lot of folks donated elastic. At that time, later on, local stores would have plain masks, and where I have the Cricut, I would put designs on them, especially with our school emblem, and bring those into the school. But a lot of them were the homemade. I even paid for this company to make fabric with our school name on it, so then I could cut that up and make masks out of that. I bought University of Kentucky fabric and made masks with that. That was a big request, was Kentucky mask, obviously.
I mean, go Cats.
Yes.
How then did you learn about the Mask Makers Quilt Project?
On social media, I believe on Facebook, I had joined a group about mask making, and people were asking where people were getting supplies and things like that. And then one of the ladies mentioned, how about we make a quilt with some of our, if you have any fabric left over from the mask you've made, would you be willing to make a quilt square? And she would like to have one from each county. So I immediately wrote to her and said, you know, I'd be honored if I could submit one. And I ended up submitting 3.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your quilt squares?
One quilt square is all Kentucky, of course. Each square was a different type of fabric that I had that had Kentucky basketball, football, the UK Wildcat on it. Those were obviously hot picks for people that were asking for quilts or masks. So I had some of that left over. So I made a 9-patch out of that. And then the other quilt square that made it into the quilt was just miscellaneous fabric that I had. There was Harry Potter, I believe, Minnie Mouse. I tried to pick when I was able to find different fabric, things that I thought people would like, something different than, you know, just standard blue or black or white or whatever. I tried to pick, you know, Minnie Mouse, flowers, Harry Potter, John Deere, camo. Camo was a big hit too.
Do you remember anything about those particular fabric, about anyone who requested those particular fabrics?
My niece in North Carolina is a huge Disney, and she wanted Minnie Mouse, so I got the Minnie Mouse for her. Camouflage, my brother is a nurse in another state in Huntington, and so I made him and my niece that lives in West Virginia, I made them like 10 or 12, and he got camo. And Kentucky, of course. And my nephew loves Star Wars, so I had to get Star Wars fabric. Yeah.
Can you tell me how you shared your square? Do you remember?
How I sent it to her? Mm-hmm. I wrote a letter and I sent it to Gina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thanking her for the project and would be honored if, you know, one of my 3 blocks would make it into the quilt and represent Boyd County.
And did you also write a letter to the governor?
I did.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. I wrote him a letter thanking him for all that he had done for our state at the time. And trying to find if I have a copy of it. I wrote to him saying that I was a middle school teacher, special ed teacher, and when I wasn't helping my students during virtual time, I was making masks, and yes, I'd rather be in the classroom, but I understood that we had, and I was thankful for the technology that we had to be able to help our students virtually and encourage them to stay healthy at home. And if they would need to go out into public, that here was a mask that I made them, and to please stay safe, especially my student that was on chemo. You know, he still had to go to doctor's appointments and things like that, so I especially wanted him to be safe. And I just thanked him again for a great job that he was doing, and I was proud to call him my governor. And and I just thanked him from the bottom of my heart.
Can you describe for me the feelings that you had being involved in this project?
Oh my gosh, I was so excited, and my mom was so proud of me too. So she passed away from COVID. My mask didn't save her. But she did wear the mask that I made her. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
But she was so excited too, and was proud of me for being a part of this. You know, I wasn't a first responder, but this is what I knew to do. And this is how I knew I could help people.
Sorry, you're fine.
Told myself I wouldn't cry. But I was just so excited to be a part of the whole thing. Again, you know, I wasn't a first responder. I couldn't go into the hospitals, and I couldn't take care of people that way. But this is what I knew I could do, so that's what I did.
Can you tell me a little bit about the time when the quilt was delivered? And so about October 2020.
Oh, yes. Again, we were still all in quarantine, and I was watching updates from Gina on our social media page, and just so excited, and just especially when she sent a video to us showing that the governor had gotten it, and, you know, all the pictures that she took, and I would zoom in and look to see. And one picture almost looks like he's pointing at my square, which, you know, everybody wants to think that too. But but it was so awesome. And so it was a great feeling to see him be excited over the quilt. And Gina made us mask. I'm not sure she told you. She made mask that has the quilt on it and his quote. And I almost forgot to bring mine today, but yeah, it was definitely made with love.
So it was presented.
Yes.
But you had not seen it.
No.
What was it like seeing it today?
Oh, it was awesome. It was a great feeling to see all of it come together.
I'm emotional now. We're going to transcribe all of these, and there's going to be a part in every one of them that's like, and then Mandy gets emotional.
And then pity cries.
Did you make anything else that was shared with the state officials?
I actually sent a mask to the governor with our school, Ashland Middle School, on it. And I wrote him a letter that day too. And he read it online, he read it on air and wore the mask that day. That was really cool. So I had my 15 minutes of fame at school.
Why was that cool? What did it show you?
What did it show me? That I can make things, that I am able to make things that I am proud of. And I was definitely proud that he wore it that day.
Have you seen the community continue to support each other? Have you seen the community continue to support each other? Let's reframe this question.
I think where I'm from, that the community is, they're still aware that COVID is still out there, but they're not as concerned as before. I think we're getting a little more lax on the rules and things like that. But yeah, I'm a rule follower, so I'm like, now let's step back, we need our mask and things like that. But yeah, there's still community support. I don't think there's, if we see people with masks on, we respect them.
Can you define Team Kentucky for me?
That there is no I, it's all we, and we're all in this together, and we're our one big family.
How do you think that the quilt contributed to the idea of Team Kentucky?
I think every county they contributed. Every county is represented. And, it just brought us all together. I know people now that I didn't know before, and even in my own little community. And the other lady from Boyd County that has a quilt, and we go to the same church and didn't know it. So, yeah, it's brought us all together, I think.
How are you feeling in June of 2022?
Oh, after seeing that quilt today, I'm ecstatic, and I can't wait to see it if it gets to go on tour, especially hopefully it will come to my area and people can see that, this little old teacher, middle school teacher, contributed to something that's statewide.
Is there anything else you would like to tell us?
Can't think of anything.
Thank you.
You're